I did want to ask you one little thing. I know that you mentioned already hoarders, and this doesn't necessarily pertain to, like you say, most of your clients, but or most of us. But what was it like to be in that situation where you were helping out? I know you were on an episode where you were helping them organize and clean. And I mean, for you as an organizer, and with this psychology background, what was that experience like for you?
It was pretty incredible. I do have to say it was the hottest weekend in August in 2012, really? So it was a little warm. you can see my rosy cheeks on the show if people saw it. But it was pretty incredible. Not only did I get to work with a team of organizers, people who I hadn't worked with before, but also worked with the organizer for that show, with the Hoarders show. And I also got to connect and talk with one of the psychologists for the show, because they always have a therapist on the show, who's a guy who's out of Chicago. So he actually did theater, so he was also intrigued by the action stuff that, you know, I talked about. So so it was pretty interesting. I mean, they started off, of course, with having the 1-800-GOT-JUNK guys. We had our other team, the boys in blue, who would come in and with the shovels clean out the house. The client that I worked with, she actually, I guess what I can say is my good feeling is that after that experience, she wanted to work with me more. You know, I was one of the two people that she said, oh, I would like to work with her again. So it was kind of nice to have her see that amidst all of the chaos of that weekend, because it really was just a weekend that we did this.
Really? Wow.
And, she got to go and have her hair done and, you know, get a makeover and get a break while we clean the house out.
And she let you guys do that?
Mm-hmm.
And she was willing to go away while y'all did, y'all were in there?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it took a little conversation. It was her kids who were helpful in getting everything set up for this. So I think the only unfortunate thing, and well, I guess the true unfortunate thing, is that she's been a hoarder for so long that there was some backsliding that we would expect happen, and it did happen. And, you know, the Hoarder show, I mean, I kind of have mixed, you know, that I think they're doing a great job educationally, although at times I think when I talk to friends who watch the show, I'm not so sure they're understanding it's supposed to be an educational show.
Yeah.
People say, oh, well, that's, I'm so glad I'm not that person, you know, or I'm so glad I'm not like that. Like, well, there are a lot of people like that. It's still happening. It's still going to, you know, get worse. But some of the unfortunate with this house was just the mold in the basement, you know, that just there wasn't enough money to even get that treated, you know. So they try to just do as best they could with getting it all set up. Psychology-wise, I think it was definitely a good experience. I would work with a hoarder again. Some of what I've learned with hoarders in general is that around the country, they're kind of pushing to try out more task forces with hoarders, where instead of just having a one professional organizer or maybe a few organizers work with a hoarder, that you have to have other roles in place. You need to have the therapist, of course, which they need to have that on the show sometimes, and they need to have the code officer, the one who's responsible for saying that house is condemned. That you have to move out of the house. The house is completely worthless now. It can get to be that bad where they have to enforce that. So there's also the therapist, the professional organizer, the code enforcer, usually the family support member they try to get someone who is a family member of a hoarder, not of that hoarder, but of another hoarder who can help provide support to the family members of the hoarder to kind of help take care of that piece of it. So
yeah, because that seems to be a big thing, is that the family members just don't get it. Yeah, they just don't understand the behavior. And as I keep saying, I'm borderline. I'm not a borderline hoarder, but I understand that, you know, like, that I understand those tendencies, mm-hmm. at least some mm-hmm. of them. And so you see the family there, and they just don't get it.
Right, right. Well, there's like, clients like the one I saw, she was struggling with severe ADD. And there was a mix on the family stuff they showed on the show, you know, a little bit of the family drama, that some family members got it and some didn't. So they did kind of demonstrate that a little bit. But it was just one of those things where she was sweet as could be, had a good heart. It was no problem, but she just had this issue. And, you know, I watched the therapist do really good work with her to start to stop herself in that process of, before she picks that item up or before she puts it down, you know, what's going on in the brain, what's going on in her head, which is similar to what I was connecting with, like, that's what I want to do, like, help people look at that process. The thing that's unfortunate with the ADD, if you don't have good treatment, or there may not even be good enough treatment for this severity, is it's just a matter of breaking down the brain processes, of helping some kind of cognitive work, cognitive behavioral, as they say, to really help you stop the process of what you're doing next. Because a lot of the clutter that this person had was literally from just picking stuff up and putting it down somewhere and forgetting about it.
Wow.
You know, totally, I mean, it was just, you know, but she had been through some tough times years ago, but so this is a long-standing hoarding behavior that had been going on for a long time. So, you know, I had a feeling, of course, Hoarder Show cannot solve it in one weekend.
Right, right.
They've had some successes with some people where they're able to get them to do some good work, and they do follow-up work. They, you know, have some funds to support, you know, follow-up therapy and follow-up organizing. But if it's, you know, if their money runs out and there's not anybody to, you know, take care of it, then there's no more support. You know, the person just ends up back where they were. So
that's
the thing that gets really tricky, which I think is why there's so much research still going on with hoarders to get more of that psychology understood and get more of look for where things could be maybe caught in the, you know, in the front end,
right,
before it starts. Including the genetic stuff when looking at the kids, because there are some kids that learn they're looking at, well, is it from actual genetics or is it they're just learning because they live in the house, you know, a little bit of both. So, it was an interesting experience. I would probably do it again. Hopefully not when it's so hot in the Northeast. It's so hot in the Northeast. That would be great. I've actually been told that, you know, I could get some more referrals for other hoarders, because I have some of the people I worked with there, they have worked with hoarders for a long time and stuff, and they're ready to do some more referrals out to other organizers to do some work, because it's very intense stuff. But I do still want to work with pack rats. And the thing with pack rats, like you say, talking about being borderline, you know, people say, well, I don't know, they have all their kind of judgments about who's doing this and who's doing that. And I think, you know what, it is an epidemic overall, and that I see so many people that are on that borderline of all they need is some traumatic event to happen, and they will be in that house with their stuff.
Right.
And that'll be it. And and so part of the pack rat work is if we can, again, catch it on the front end before that happens, that when that traumatic event happens, they'll have more of a support system for themselves to deal with it.